you're packaging now condensed data and you're slipping it under the doorstep. So it's a bomb. And you get in and you can infiltrate that person's mental system and make them either like you or not like you. But it's always a social combat psychologically. It's always a thought consciousness movement of strategizing from one person to the other. And we do it all the time. And this comes from primitive man. This is social function. Animals do it. So do human beings do it. Anybody who ever approaches you, 10 to 1, know that they have an intention. They're not just coming up to you because they just want to be your friend. It's what established why they want to be your friend. What did you do? What did they see? What do you have? There's something there. Now, there is the rare occasion when someone genuinely just wants to be friends. But in this day and age, you know, even primitive speaking, you know, the guys who befriended you while you were carrying your lamb that you hunted for around the corner, then beat you up and take your lamb, you know, or your deer or whatever. So 9 times out of 10, there's motivations under motivations, and it's right for you to be skeptical, because this all gets down to fear-based. Fear-based is survival-based. Survival-based says be fearful of anybody's intentions, because their intentions may be harmful. So this is your biological sensory kicking in. So you got to use that biological sensory to your advantage. And when you use reverse engineering, as we spoke earlier, then you can find ways of broadcasting information under control. Actors and actresses do this a lot. They have to create an emotion internally to externally broadcast it. What is interesting is most actors can do this under a performance situation, but in real life, when they have to act to whatever, they find it a lot more difficult because they find that they're out of their natural element. But this is all consciousness. It's all communication, both physically through your face, emotionally broadcasting it, and of course, you know, verbally broadcasting with interfibered vibration. So there's many levels of this information being exchanged. And I would imagine thousands of bits of information are done in a second as soon as you meet somebody. There's just like mass loads of data being exchanged. Sizing up, feeling, sensory, you know, is this guy after my girl? Is this guy, you know, what does this person want? I mean, if you just think about different things where we've met new people and just the whole exchange of the social ritual of establishing the pecking order and establishing who has what to offer and establishing what you know, there is to be afraid of or not being afraid of or winning them over, saying, no, I'm not a threat here, but you can't actually verbalize that. Do you see what I'm saying? I've always found that, for me, direct pointedness seems to work best, but then people think that that's arrogant and just a form of arrogance. But my standard would be is I can tell that that person's sizing me up, and I know so well that I can say, okay, first of all, I'm not interested in your girlfriend. Let's clear that up. Second of all, whatever I sense is going through their mind and dealing with situation, but that is just too brutal for some people, and it's too intimidating. It's like, you know too much too easily. I can't handle this. You're a greater threat, and I have to get rid of you. Because how will I ever know what your negative intention is? So I might as well just assume it must be bad because I can't keep up with you. So this is a disadvantage then for me, and this is what most people get because I can't even help it sometimes. I'm just so, you know, right on the money. This is, again, it's another form of communication, and it falls again to that whole concept about the airplane on the ground and then taking off. These are all factors that are natural elements, which I explain as being the wheel still touching the grain of the airplane. As it begins to lift off is when you learn to go through someone's mind and get information that they're not volunteering through any of these other physiological ways that I'm talking about. That would be takeoff. That would be when you've learned to use your sixth sense. Instead of your hands moving around, instead of your eyes showing information or your ears getting information or whatever, you found another way to communicate on that person does not know how to use, so you have the advantage. It's to say that if you were in a fight and the other person didn't have arms, do you think you had an advantage? Okay, well, it's that big of an advantage if you can develop your sensory to that level of scanning. But just remember, you know, like I said, if someone's scanning you and they're very powerful, maybe you don't have hands, but you still got feet, kick them. Project that happy energy at them. You know, it's going to be enough to deal with the situation up to a certain point. Moving on to other forms of communication of thought is frequency. And we've discussed this considerably about a person's frequency or energy or vibration. And a teacher is obviously the best frequency that is going to be practical for you to approach until you can approach the frequency, per se, of God. Whenever you acknowledge thought or the process of sharing thought, you, by acknowledging this, learn from it. Do you understand? It's very simple. You don't have to do anything else in your head, but to observe that there's a process of information being exchanged, and that's thought. Do you understand? So you could say everything that we've talked about, as long as you can see it happening now that you know what to be aware of. Again, going further back, if you know you're being stalked, you have awareness. You can see it happening and you have an advantage. Do you follow what I'm saying? You can better empower yourself. Well, when you think about when you deal with people in public and circumstances now, you're probably going to think about it in a different way. And because you're thinking about it in a different way, you now have an advantage again. You have a power that you did not have before. Do you understand? Now, when you are in the presence of certain individuals, their vibration is another form of thought. It's their consciousness resides at such a place that it's so refined that through you observing in this method, you are learning. It still applies to a higher being versus a lesser being in everyday life. It's the same concept. It's just a different response that you're getting from it. And you're learning from it through observing it makes you self-reflect. One of the interesting things that I should point out to you is that if I smile, what did that do earlier to you guys when I gave that big happy heart chakra energy out? Everybody kind of laughed and they got it. Something in their head just kind of went hee-hee-hee-hee, okay? Well, that was a thought that was pronounced both physically and spiritually in energy from me, okay? You sampled it. Do you understand what you did? You sampled it through your data process and bounced it back out. I sent it out as data. You internalized it, and you remanufactured the exact same thing, and you felt it and broadcasted it out, and you knew what it was. Thought is a living thing. You can bring it inside of you, and it can affect you. Just as much as I said that somebody could broadcast a depression on you, and you would feel depressed, someone can also think of you in a negative, hateful, spiteful way, and all of a sudden you feel ill and sickly and depressed. Or it's to say that if you feel positive, the health of your body has a greater immune system. All the living organisms of your body improve. Versus if you feel really depressed, your immune system drops and you feel sickly and you're more vulnerable to attack versus viruses. Everybody understand this? So when someone projects a great amount of negativity to you and you are experiencing this, it's an attack on your inner energies. It's an attack on your inner vibrations. When you have an argument with a lover, it's the same effect. And they're assaulting you, not just energy, but psychologically through facial, through every method of thought that they can project. They're launching an all-out nuclear war on you because what do they want? They want you to submit. And submit means that you're going to have to be destroyed to such a level that you are forced to submit to their will, unless they have some kind of control where they can get up and walk away and cool off and find another way of communicating. So this is an assault on you when someone's really angry or talking at you in a way. They're working on finding your bands of thought to attack and to detach, to make you accept what they have to say instead of communicating with you on an even level of communication so that you can find a different kind of truth. Now, in some cases, you have to take this all out in assault. And I know that's hard to imagine coming from somebody like me, but sometimes people just don't want to hear it. Or sometimes a child can just throw walls up and you have to find a way to break those walls down. How you choose your armory of weapons is really what's more important. You can be either strategic about your warfare or you can just be blatantly canvassing it with destruction. I would say it's better to be precise precision than it is to blanket somebody with an all-out brutal assault. There is certainly a difference there. But when someone at a distance is angry with you, you're going to feel that energy. You're going to feel it attacking. You're not going to know why you feel anxiety. You're not going to know why you feel anxious or something's just bugging you or why all of a sudden you lost your appetite or something. Or you might have a fight with somebody over the phone and immediately after you're thinking you're just dealing with the issue psychologically, but that person's also pumping their energy out at you. And on the same token, you could do the same thing to someone else by pumping out that energy if you're all wound up and thinking on them. And when you're thinking on them and you're invoking their frequency. If you're invoking their frequency, you've got their signal. If you got their signal, you're broadcasting this to onslaught onto them. Does everybody understand that? These are things that you have to be aware of. What's even interesting is that sometimes you may all of a sudden feel an anxiety, and you know you haven't talked to anybody, you know you haven't had a conversation with anybody, whatever reasons. But they could have talked to someone who said, did you know, last week I meant to tell you that I spoke with blah, 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 and they told me this, this, and this regarding you. And then that person all of a sudden is what? Invoking you, your image, your vibration, your feeling. And they're saying, I can't believe they said that and blah, 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 blah. And now they're invoking this broadcast through the signal again to you. You just don't know who or why it's coming at you. But it's, again, it's another kind of energy or psychic attack. And this happens all day long. And this is another systematic way of keeping individuals in check within the matrix from allowing themselves to go out. Because in order for you to hit a higher consciousness, your first job is really to liberate yourself mentally from things that are weighing you down or empowering the babbler. So as long as other people are invoking their consciousness always on you in certain ways, it's a way of keeping you from liberating yourself from moving beyond all that. And this is why you're given all these tools to practice and all these methods to practice. That it's not so much of dealing with issues that you are dealing with. It's to say that there are people in your life that are constantly broadcasting on you, whether their intentions are good or bad. A person praying for you to find their religion or their God or their belief system is still an invocation on you all the time. It's another psychic webbing that, in a sense, is constantly working you to keep you in a certain place. You have to understand that you've got to clear all these things so that you can make a clear and decisive choice from your own inner being rather than it being affected by outside sources of energy or consciousness that you're not even aware of that are forcing or molding your destination. And that's part of the matrix. That's all part of the conscious grid moving around. Practicing your tools to clear all that's very important. And if you don't work on it every day, then you are going to fall under the will of the matrix. And what is deemed as good thoughts doesn't necessarily mean that they're thoughts that you agree with. But yet, they're going to be invoked on you. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, internally, you're fully aware of what these other people's wants and desires are on you. And that alone has a festering ability that's absorbing your energy. So when we talked about computer stuff earlier and we said all these little tiny programs running that you're not aware of, you're aware of. If you can say, yeah, my mother feels this way or my father feels this way or this person feels that way, just the fact that that's happening is still something that's feeding on you like a little microvirus. And this is why they say meditate, remove yourself from thought, because it's your only time period that you begin to shut down all of these things. Does everybody understand? And even when you shut down most of them, there's still always some running. So this is which gets into inner training, where you go into your mind and you disengage these. You decord their power system and disable them. But in some cases, they are run by guilt, and so now all of a sudden it's selfishness if you remove yourself from those things. It's to say that I should care about what my mother wants. I should care about what my father wants. I don't want to hurt them. So now you've got a dilemma of choosing right or wrong. And what is this going to distinguish in you what's right and wrong is the real question. And so all of those things steal or take from the energy to empower that main algorithm that's working for enlightenment, that main path. They're all taking a little bit here, a little bit there, but when you put them all together, it's a huge amount. So again, your job is to isolate as much as that as you can that's reasonable for you, so that you can put most of your energy, most of your inner resources dimensionally into your main agenda, to your spirituality. And that's where you have to get tough. That's where you have to be focused. That's where you have to say, I'm sorry, this is the way it is. And this is why sometimes you guys think that I can be sometimes kind of tough or certain walls. But there's certain times I go, that's it. That's enough. Back off. Or I broadcast it and everybody's like, whoa, you know, we better not bother him with these things. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there are things that I feel that you can handle. You're just choosing the easiest route, but it's now using my resources. understanding this, again, this is how thought works. Thought is invoked upon you. If you can think about it, you can acknowledge it. If you acknowledge it, you are empowering yourself because you're aware of the intentions of the stalker, per se. It gives you the advantage. When you choose to be around certain people, as we were saying earlier, birds of a feather flock together. If you're around people who do a lot of drugs, more than likely you will get involved with doing drugs because you begin to see life through that perspective. We are creatures of absorption. We absorb the consciousness of the environment we choose to be in. So it's no wonder that we become a byproduct of environments that we're in, and it takes a lot of strength to change that environment. If there's 10 people, it's unlikely that your will is going to change all 10. Usually the 10 will absorb you. I'll give you a perfect example of this. If you guys moved to the South and they had a heavy accent, 10 to 1 within your first year living there, you would begin to adapt that accent and not know that you have it. So we are products of absorption of the environments that we place ourselves in. And it's no different with habits of life, preferences, how we do things, what we consider neat and clean, and the standards of what that level would be, so on and so forth. So if you put yourself around people who are not striving for a spiritual goal, it's going to be very difficult for you yourself to achieve those spiritual goals, or more difficult. It's not to say you can't, it's just to say that you're adding things against your favor. And he says, I'm not a gambling man. I want to stack as much as I want in my favor to what I want to achieve. Place yourself in a group of people that have the same goals or same agendas. More than likely, you're helping to fuel or empower yourself to achieve that goal. Because now you have people who are stroking with you in that boat, and it's creating a much more powerful momentum. And you're still individual because you have to maintain your own physical exhaustion or what you can do. But you still have a group of people that are sending you the right destination. So where you spend your time and who you tend to spend it with has a huge effect on what you're going to achieve. Of course, it's very important to keep in mind that you must always check the environment. Even if you think that this environment, the very environment I'm speaking to you guys with, you must always remember that even I can still have that clannish effect where we're all in our own little reality or bubble. And maybe there's something bigger beyond this. This is why I always say it's important to read outside of this. It's always important to look at stuff outside of this. When we lose that diversity, it's when we've become like everything else. So it's important that you do expand your life outside of out of our school of thinking. Do not isolate it. Many religions isolate. Many groups isolate. Now, there's a certain level of isolation, but there's also an extreme amount of flexibility. But it's always important for us to think about that from time to time and to reflect on that. And it's always good to spend time with family and friends. But you have to feel strong enough to know what you want and to direct that course of your life. And when it's being infringed upon too much by those factors, you also need to step back out of it for your own inner cause, for your own inner journey. Does everybody understand that? The reason why people should have a spiritual teacher or a guru or a mind mechanic is that you're being around that person for their quality of consciousness. You're sampling much the same way you would sample from other people or other groups and pick up habits or things from them. You're choosing to be around a spiritual guide, per se, because it's assumed, we should say, that they are of a higher evolution, okay, than where you may be. And you're esteeming to find where it is that they are. So, by you being in their presence, you're absorbing that frequency. A spiritual teacher is always broadcasting a very high frequency. If you open yourself to it the same way you have observations with other things, so do you absorb that, and you can choose to absorb that, and that in itself elevates you higher. Being just in the presence of a very spiritual person in itself is very uplifting, it's very teaching, it's very freeing, it expands your consciousness. And this is why you would want to seek out to be in that circumstance, or at least be able to hear this discussion, because it's going to invoke that kind of thought, that kind of vibration, and you're going to manifest that inside of you just by thinking on it. So, if you can't be in the physical presence, the next best thing is this. It's better than not invoking anything, or it's being under the invocation of other frequencies that may not be beneficial to you. So you have to create that vibration by it being created through this format, through this conversation. By us thinking on the topics that we are thinking upon is creating a very complex frequency itself, just by the subject matter creating a total final product in itself, and that would be a breakthrough per se, or understanding in a higher perception. Being with a higher frequency is always better than choosing to be in a lower frequency. Always try to be conscious of where you are, who you're with. And if you can do that, that's called what? That's called being conscious. We always say be in the now. Think about the reality of what's going on. Think about who you're with. When you don't do that, you are more than likely absorbing the vibration of all the people that you're around, whether it be in your work environment, whether it be hanging out with people, whether it's in your school environment, whether it's at a wedding or a shower, is to step back and to think about the very moment you're in, instead of becoming part of the product of what's happening, and you're just moving in it with non-thought. You can move in it with having consciousness. That's what you want to achieve, is to constantly be as aware or conscious as you can for as long a period as you can, and that tends to be on and off, but it still keeps you in check. So being around a spiritual teacher is your main window to sampling and experiencing a higher vibration, and appropriately helps you to set the standards of what you're trying to create in yourself by mimicking it. Now, remember what I said, that you can create vibrations inside of you by invoking them. If you wanted happiness, I invoked it happiness by invoking my heart chakra and broadcasting out, and everybody felt it. But you guys can do the same. But the thing that you don't often think about is that sometimes, as I've taught you before, if you think that you are that person, you can feel them. If you feel what it is to feel like their face, if you shape your face into the structure of how they have their face, you can feel what it is that they feel in their normal everyday life. And you can do that as a practice. You would close your eyes, and you would invoke like your mother or your father or whoever you're thinking about. And if you do that for a few seconds, you're going to feel what it is to feel like them. Now, after you've played around with this, what you want to do is you want to invoke someone that you esteem as being in a much higher place than you. Someone that esteems with a much higher vibration. And this is kind of a cheating method. But by so doing, you're invoking that vibration to a certain level inside of you, and you're learning from it. Do you understand? So let's say if you esteemed me, it's to say that if invoking me and feeling like me, there's some things that you will learn that you can't understand in your normal way of thinking right now. But by invoking and internalizing it, there's other things you can feel. Now, what you choose to interpret is the thing that you have to watch. If you choose to look at the negative and say, oh, it feels like it's powerful, you know, and it could do really intense things, it's not exactly what you're looking for. That's still more physical in a sense. It's lower energy consciousness that you're switching to. What you'd rather say is it feels perhaps there's a sense of peace or a sense of knowing. You don't have to fully know what I know, but just a sense of knowing that exists in itself is a lesson within you that you can learn, and it may open up other doors. So this is why I often say that spiritual people will have shrines of their gurus and stuff, and most Western people look at that and go like, oh, it's like some kind of cult worshiping or whatever. It's to invoke the quality of that teacher as a memory. All these teachers talked about God, so obviously the student isn't worshiping that person as God. They know that the teacher was the teacher, not God. But most Western people think that that's what they think it is. They must be idolizing them. Well, they do it all the time. Look at all their statues and everything else. I mean, it was religiously stated there should be no icons or whatever, yet that's all there is. Okay, but what do they have it? They have it to inspire them. So when you have a photograph of your teacher or candles of your teacher and you sit down and you meditate, it's not that you're praying to your teacher as much as you're trying to invoke the memory of what that person invoked in you, and that you don't lose that, and that you want to have that blossom inside of you, or to grow inside of you, or to feel inside of you, and it's your last link of maintaining that link. It could be any teacher, any person that you aspire. For me, it's like Mohandas Gandhi. He's not necessarily a spiritual teacher, but in my way, he's a spiritual teacher of life, in my opinion. So everybody can have a certain reference. It's whatever you choose to see. And even if that person did something bad, it doesn't mean that you have to just get the bad too. You can focus on what is good and want to incorporate that into the quality of who you are.